What's going on, pals? And a very happy Wednesday to you. Welcome aboard. It's the big show in the morning. My name is Matt Rose. Sitting across from me today, lovely mug, looking all well done up, is Will Nolt.
Well done up, wearing a t-shirt.
But your hair's done. Look at that.
No, I got a hat.
It looks like it's done, though. Really? That's your hat hair?
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of a poof, a little bit of a floof on it.
What kind of sound was that?
A poof. You know? When it goes all left to right on you?
One more time.
Poof. We got GVP and Alex in the other room. Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, fellas?
You know, I'll give you a lot of credit, Matt.
But
ever since the first interaction, you've been nothing but gracious and kind, Alex. You really changed
your
ways.
I don't know why you're forcing this narrative that I've been such an awful dude to the intern.
I said you've changed. He's not even an intern. He's your buddy.
He's our coworker. There's interns, there's coworkers. It's a revolving door at this point. No offense. But I don't know where this is coming from, where I treated him poorly from the start, and you constantly bring it up. Or I didn't treat him poorly at all. I was just really dialed into work the one morning I rolled in, because as you know, I get in here about 5 minutes before the show starts. And I had stuff to do. Things to do.
I'm not saying you were a terrible human being to him. I just...
It kind of sounds like that's what you're trying to imply.
Just kind of walk by.
Yeah, things to do. Places to be. Not always kissing
babies. Look at
that shirt.
That shirt's seen some miles, hey?
This one?
Yeah. A little faded.
No, it's part of the design.
Oh, it's badass.
It's a Wild Rose shirt. Shout out Wild Rose. I actually just walked by our storage room here.
Yeah.
And there is heaps of Wild Rose products. I did the old rubber necking. Wait
put
a second.
It, put that, it in reverse.
That wasn't there
beep,
yesterday.
Beep.
And my assumption would be it's for our big party, big jamboree that we're throwing out at Optimist for the slow pitch tournament this weekend.
Which I saw you were you're the host, you're the man, you're the myth, the legend for the home run derby.
I love that role for me. I love holding a microphone during the home run derby. So we'll get. I'm gonna start working on my home run calls over the next couple of days.
I like it.
And we'll MC the dinger contest.
It's too bad. I really wanted to see you in it. But,
I know you did, and that's not going to happen, so I'm very happy. If everything goes to plan, I won't swing a bat the entire day. If everything goes according to plan, I will not pick up a slow-pitch bat the entire day. That's my hope. That way I won't embarrass myself.
That's fine. That's probably the
probably won't happen, but that's what I want to try and do right now. So we're looking forward to that. If you're going to be there, first off, thanks for signing up. It's the inaugural slow pitch tournament for Sportsnet 960, and really, it's one of the first events that we're doing where we're actually getting back out into the community and having a whole bunch of people around and doing all sorts of things like that. We haven't been doing a ton ever since the pandemic. So we're excited to kind of get back to those type of events where we can go out and meet you guys face-to-face and talk some sports face-to-face, get away from the mics a little bit, and just get to know some of our listeners a little bit more. So we're very much looking forward to that on Saturday. Saturday's going to be a busy day. I believe Cavalry play in the evening. We have the Stampeders and the BC Lions that are going to be taken to McMahon. That's going to be a 5 o'clock start, and we're very much looking forward to that game. We got a couple notes from practice that we'll get to this morning within the Stamps report. Of course, Dave Dickinson, the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders, joins us every single Wednesday just after 7 o'clock to kick off hour 2 if you're listening on the podcast, and we will hash that up for you. We got a couple of guests coming up today. Ben Wagner is going to join us, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays. Tough result last night against the Baltimore Orioles, I would proclaim. And the World Juniors also got underway. So we're efforting to chat with one of our pals that are covering the tournament up in Edmonton about day one's action. Canada will be taken to the ice for the first time tonight. They will be playing Slovakia. That one's going to go at pardon me, they're playing Latvia at 4 o'clock. Slovakia is their game on Thursday. But both those are going to be 4 o'clock starts. The Americans won yesterday. Matt Coronato had an assist in the Flames department. So we'll dive into all of that as the show goes on as well. But, Will, it was a bit of an interesting situation yesterday. The Jays game goes into a very long rain delay, 78 whole minutes. And during that portion, I had beer league hockey, so I basically didn't miss very much of the Jays game. It ended up being a nice little great. I didn't hate it. But for the Jays, not good. Bo Bichette hits a three-run jack. They take a lead, but then they go into this rain delay. It switches up how they're going to, you know, trot out their relievers and everything like that. And eventually, once they get back at it, the Orioles return. They get one run in the eighth and then a two-run shot from Rougned Odor. And that would be it. 6-5. And the Jays dropped their first two games to the Orioles in this series. Not great, especially when you had a lead in that one. Manoah was a bit shaky, but he was good enough to get out of it. That's one that I think it's tough if you're the Jays, but you still got this lead on the Orioles, and you got a chance to at least take one of three this evening, but it is going to be Jose Berrios on the mound.
Yeah, you kind of have to find a way to take one, you would think, just based on how things have shaken down in the standings. Did you know if the season started a month ago?
A month ago.
No, I get that the month is not a long time in a baseball season, but if the season were to start a month ago, the Baltimore Orioles would have the best record in the American League.
Okay, that seems surprising, but then you think about it, and I think the Yankees had an outstanding lead, but I would argue over the last couple weeks have been kind of up and down.
Well, and you look at the way the Yankees have played, they've won just three of their last 10. They lose a crazy one yesterday, scoreless, all the way until about the 13th or 14th inning.
Bottom 13, wild.
You didn't have runners on second base. It probably was an old school game that goes to, you know, 18, 19 innings. It just felt like no one was going to score.
6-hour doozies.
The Yankees, though, have won just three of their last 10, as I mentioned. And if you're the Blue Jays, you know, we were talking weeks ago, months ago, that the lead that they've built in the American League East seemed insurmountable. Mm-hmm. Seemed like it was a lock for them to be the division winners, and it still will be. I mean, the lead is 10 and a half games. But, for example, Blue Jays win the last couple of games. We're talking about a lead that's now probably in single digits. There was a chance for the Blue Jays to chip in to that Yankee lead and be hot on the heels of the Yankees, but they have not been able to take advantage of this Yankee slide. The Blue Jays themselves are 5-5 over their last 10 games. Been a lot of win one, lose one.
Mm-hmm.
And, losing a series to Baltimore, not ideal. Because the Baltimore Orioles, as I mentioned, best record in the American League of the past month. They are red hot. And they're a team that right now is right on the heels of Tampa Bay and Seattle for a wild card spot, and really entering action today, just two games back of Toronto in the American League East standings. Things are going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that for a while. You look at the standings in the American League. Tampa is holding onto that final wild card spot. Baltimore half game back. Cleveland a game back. Minnesota a game back. Chicago even still remains in it. The White Sox 2.5 back right now of Tampa, entering action on August 10th. So things are going to be fun in the American League. But Baltimore is a team that sold assets, the deadline, said, okay, yeah, we might make the three-game wild card, but we're not going to contend for a World Series. So let's trade a mainstay in Trey Mancini. Let's trade our all-star closer and get pieces in here. And I applaud them, because not a lot of teams are able to kind of look in the mirror and admit that to themselves, that, you know, we're having a great season, but we're probably not there yet to be a contender. So let's trade some pieces and make sure that we are in a better spot 3, 4, 5 years down the road to potentially win the whole thing.
And I've always found it something unique about the MLB, and we talked about it, I don't know if it was this week, going back to last week a little bit, but with the expanded playoffs, more teams can be in it. Like, if they hadn't expanded the playoffs, we wouldn't even be really worried about this Orioles team that's would be
for sure
a game back of a wild card spot. And you're talking about Tampa and Cleveland still kicking around. And like you mentioned, when you look at the subtractions for Baltimore, you wouldn't even be thinking about it. So I kind of love this expanded format because it does allow for some exciting races as we really get down into it. And it's not only the wild card. Like, obviously, you know, Cleveland and Minnesota are fighting for that top spot in the AL Central. Gross. Neither of them are in a wild card spot if they miss out on the division. Both would be fighting for a wild card spot, but they wouldn't be in one as of now. And then you also got the Yankees and the Houston Astros, who have an even record at this point. 71-40 are both teams with this Yankees slide that you talked about. And the Astros have caught up. So we do have a little bit of a intriguing race to watch for the very top spot in the American League. Not just the wild card, a little bit of everything there too. So very much looking forward to how the season is going to continue, wind down. I know the group wasn't very happy with the rain delay, but as is life, you move on, you try and get the win tonight. And as mentioned, Jose Barrios is going to be on the mound. You think we see Jackie Bradley Jr. today, Will?
Well, we saw him yesterday.
Jays assigned him. He was in the game. Does he go back-to-back, though? What did you make of
the signing? Yesterday he played as a role just as a pinch runner. Obviously a little bit of defense as well, I believe. But, yeah, I would suggest that he's a guy that very much is a depth piece. When everybody's healthy, I think the expectation is he's a replacement for Bradley Zimmer, even though I think some Blue Jay fans and analysts will tell you that Bradley Zimmer – this season in particular might be a better fit than Jackie Bradley Jr. But I will say that I think that it was an important pickup for Toronto because as they look to get to October and make the playoffs, they don't have a lot of guys in their roster that are playoff tested, that are champions, that have done things. I mean, yes, George Springer is there, but I think that bringing a guy in with experience like Jackie Bradley Jr. has, it's never a bad thing. And I think that that can be super valuable, specifically with your young core right now, as you kind of look to be in a spot where you're hoping this is the first of, what, 5, 6, 7 years where you're constantly competing and being in the playoffs. So from that perspective, I think it's a better fit than a Bradley Zimmer. But I understand that, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr. with his bat has not been very good this season. He's an elite defender, always will be. So I think the fewer you can have him in terms of at-bats, the probably the better you are. If he's a defensive replacement late in games to conserve a one-run lead, and then has maybe one or two at-bats a game, I don't think you're overly displeased with that. The one thing I would be cautious of or certainly be watching here is, did they pick him up because they wanted that experience, or is it a combination of wanting the experience and also knowing that George Springer's health is not in a great spot right now?
Yeah, and what's the timeline eventually going
and
to
And now if you
like
have Jackie Bradley, are you more comfortable with sitting Springer until he's completely healthy?
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of a stopgap type of situation. The other thing, like you mentioned, it's not necessarily the pop in the bat that you're looking for from Jackie Bradley Jr. at this point, but that's not necessarily the problem with the Blue Jays team. And not to say that their defense is a massive issue. I think it actually plays quite well. But you don't necessarily need extra offense when you're looking at a lineup that, when healthy, has George Springer and Bo Bichette and Vladdy and Springer and, you know, the list goes on. Kirk as well. I know Kirk is a little bit of a cold slump there, but hopefully starting to shake it off with another hit yesterday.
That's your boy.
I like
That's
the move. Right? I love Locomotive Kirk. I love the Locomotive, man. The Big Rig. But the other thing that, you know, kind of read about and heard some people talk about with Jackie Bradley is just a great guy to kind of have around your team and around some of your young players as well. And just kind of further to your point, like, can you put a price on that as you're looking to go further into the postseason? I don't know if you can. You could, but what would it be? So that's the story with the Toronto Blue Jays. Back at it today. 5 o'clock is when they're going to get going, and we'll carry that one for you right here on Sportsnet.
I don't think it's a 5 o'clock game, is it? I think it's a day game, I believe. Oh, no, it's a 5 o'clock game. I was thinking about the Yankees, who went deep into their game yesterday and have a day game today.
And it's actually next Wednesday that the Jays and Orioles do have a day game. So it's a week from today that they play at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, for some reason I was listening on the way into MLB Network, and they had mentioned that there was a day game, and it would just happen to be the Yankees who they were talking about, not the Orioles and Blue Jays. And the reason they were talking about that is, yes, a 13-inning game, and now they're right back at it this afternoon. A 1-10 start in Seattle.
13 innings. That's a lot of baseball to go to see just one run. Like, I was thinking about this today. If you're a fan, do you enjoy that, or do you want to see more runs? Because the other thing, too, is you read about it. Apparently, it was a lot of really nicely played defense. It wasn't just...
Yeah, apparently the game was a ton of fun. I will say, though, as a fan, you probably like a, you know, for example, a 7-4 game more than you like a 1-0 game. Mm-hmm. I would think. I think we all love the 1-0 games potentially in the playoffs because it's a little more intense. But... Yeah, I don't know if I'm, you know, if I paid money to go to see that game, I'm not sure I'm super thrilled with it. But yeah. I will, like, it's not like it was a boring game necessarily in the fact that there was some tense moments, and as you talked about, there was some good defense. But yeah, as a fan, specifically, maybe you're sitting in row 3 of the outfield.
Or you're watching at home in the Bronx as 2 o'clock starts to roll around.
I'm sure you turned it off. Unless you're a diehard fan, it's
game, which they have out there in the Bronx.
It's game 111 of the season. You're probably like, yeah.
8-10 first pitch and an extra 4 or 5 innings.
I think I'm good.
Love that. Also, was it Stamps practice yesterday?
And Darren Haynes telling us not to be a hater.
Didn't say what? Yankees. Not being a hater. Literally said.
Hey, you did say. Was it a snooze fest or not? And I'm just saying.
I never said snooze fest. I said, would you enjoy it if there's no runs?
You started talking about it and we're falling asleep. So I just, you know. I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
But I do think that, again, you maybe you want to see more runs. And I think you acknowledged it well that there was some strong defense in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more or less the question I should have framed it in the sense of, do you like watching pitchers duels or pitchers get decimated by batters?
Yeah.
Because Gerrit Cole spun 7.
That's a nice bounce back for him considering he got smashed.
And what was the other
last time?
What was the gentleman for Seattle that was on the mound yesterday? He went 8 innings. So
that was you on the mound.
It was not me. I'll tell you that. I would be exhausted, frankly, and probably wouldn't be able to throw 8 shutout innings in the major leagues.
Now, again,
probably not.
If the two starting pitchers go 7 or 8 innings shutouts respectively in the playoffs in October, I'm on the edge of my couch and loving it.
Oh, 100%. Because then every pitch matters, and that's when I love this game. Also,
and as Haynes points out, it's always good when you're beating the Yankees.
That's a great point. That'd be Darren.
Not gonna disagree there. His twins, Mr. Haynes, in quite a battle. They need Rocco Baldelli to throw his hat some more because you know, they're in a battle right now, and they're playing, you know, a lot of baseball down the stretch against the teams that are right there with them in the standings, in Cleveland and the White Sox entering action today. Minnesota's on the West Coast in L.A. to face the Dodgers. Cleveland's on the road in Detroit. Both teams identical 57 and 52 records. The Guardians have won 3 in a row. The Twins have lost back-to-back games. That's going to be a fun race down the stretch.
There's some good ones in the American League this year, like we've talked about. I'm quite excited to see how things continue to shake out as we keep going here through the rest of the summer. Yesterday was at Stampeders practice. A few updates. Several players were missing from practice, including linebacker Jameer Thurman. We didn't see Kadeem Carey doing a lot of work once again, but also on the offense, receiver Malik Henry, who left Saturday's game, and right tackle Julian Good-Jones, all missing some time around the practice field, but not participating, doing civilian clothes and stuff like that. Charlie Power also did not practice, didn't see him at the practice facility yesterday.
One of the best names in the league, by the way.
Oh, man. And he was great on the weekend. Made a couple of huge plays on special teams, making some key tackles that could have gone for much bigger gains. The other thing that was pretty cool yesterday was Titus Wall getting announced as Player of the Week for the second time this CFL season. In just 9 weeks, this rookie is having himself quite a season. Back in, what was that? I want to say week 5 against Hamilton, the Stampeders basically won with Titus Wall stripping Dane Evans late in the game, running the rock all the way back to the end zone, and boom, team won. Titus Wall was outstanding, given Player of the Week honors. This last weekend, he had 2 interceptions. One, he brought to the house for 7 points. The other, an interception in the end zone to essentially create a swing of 14 points in the game. And in a game where you win 17-3, I would suggest that's pretty important. So he ends up being a Player of the Game once again. And we're going to have a ton of coverage on Titus Wall as we keep going on the show today, because Jameer Thurman, very complimentary, and going to do a one-on-one interview with Titus Wall after their closed practice today. So we'll have that for you on Sportsnet today. The World Juniors got underway. Did you catch any hockey yesterday?
No.
I think the only game that was tight and close was Czechia and Slovakia.
Yeah, the first game of the day was kind of back and forth all day long, and it seemed from afar, following along on social media, it seemed like it was quite a battle between those two teams.
Yeah, it really did. Czechia, I think, outshot Slovakia 52-29, but like Will mentioned, it was back and forth. The other games, not so close. Finland beats Latvia. The USA beats Germany, all pretty handily. So, I don't know. Today, Canada's going to start their tournament action. The crowds, minimal, I would say. I don't know if you saw any of the pictures, but they weren't.
We'll see what the Canada game looks like today. But again, the elephant in the room is people wanting or not wanting to support Hockey Canada. I don't think that there's any question about that.
Oh, it's a plus. It's honestly, it's hockey in the middle of August.
Yep.
It's still a very expensive ticket. Yesterday, probably the only game that really could garner a lot of eyeballs was USA Germany, and that started at what, 8 o'clock. And then the games during the day, you're talking about a Wednesday.
No, a Tuesday yesterday.
Or Tuesday yesterday. But
it's
midweek.
True, though. It's August. People are at their cottage or cabin, whatever terminology you like
or
to lose.
Or down by the river or in the park or whatever.
It's true. And it'll be interesting to see when the tournament wraps what the attendance looks like. And in particular, as we get into the medal rounds. You mentioned earlier you weren't exactly sure who was on the mound. Former Reds pitcher, Luis
yes.
Castillo, on the mound for Seattle.
Yeah. 8, spun a bit of a gem. So
it's been good.
Good for him.
He's faced the Yankees twice now since being acquired by the Seattle Mariners. Someone texting in says, how did Coronado do? I believe had 1 point.
Yeah, and he was involved in a play for the 5th goal that I think had like a 12-minute video replay.
Yeah.
Ugly, gross.
People didn't really
He was
understand.
Involved in it, but he didn't end up getting a point on it. So yeah, I think he ended up with just the 1 assist. Apparently a power play entry that looked quite nice. Setting up Logan Cooley, the Arizona Coyotes. What was he, 3rd overall this past year?
Yeah.
So yeah, we had that. Jays lost. Stamps practice. Titus Wall got a big honor. World Juniors got underway. Anything else happened in your life? Pretty quiet?
I announced that I was leaving.
Oh,
people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People reacting.
So tell us a little bit more.
Well, it's been a long journey. I certainly would suggest, and I saw this a couple of times on social media yesterday, and I do think it's important to bring up the timing. Literally, purely a coincidence. I've been working on this for 14 months. It's been in the works for a while. And no, Pinder, Boomer, and myself did not sit down and decide to all
You're not doing
leave
a podcast?
At the same time. No, I am leaving media completely. I am doing something very, very, very different and new, and I'm very excited to begin the journey. as I say, it's been a long road to do this. I've had this wheel in motion or ball rolling down the hill for quite some time, and it's all just come together here in the last 3-4 weeks. So, it's going to be sad and hard to leave media. It's been a fun road. I've really enjoyed my time here. It's hard to believe I've been here for 10 years. The one thing that I think you can all know by listening is this has never been an overly large staff. So I've become really good friends with everyone here. It's been a lot of fun. I'm going to miss that part of it. I'm going to miss a lot of the cool experiences and things I've gotten to do because I've worked in this industry. So, a bit bittersweet, but it's been in the works for a while. So, I'm looking forward to a new journey. I can't necessarily share details on what that is, but, just know that it's not media related at all. It's completely different, completely new. It's going to be a very different chapter and phase in my life, but, I'm very excited.
I got a sports reference for you.
Yes.
Calling an audible. Getting up to the line and Omaha.
I guess, although I think the game plan has been in the works for 14 months. So I don't know. Would you still call that an audible? Because audible would be like a last minute switch.
Is it
right?
An audible if it was in the game plan to get up to the line and eventually call the audible is the question. I guess it's more drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
Fair. Well, I can say as someone who I've been here for about 8 years and followed quite closely in your footsteps as you moved all the way up the ladder here. And it's been a hell of a time. We've had a lot of fun. So we'll enjoy these next 3 days, get after it, and move on with our lives just as we've done. But congratulations and thank you.
You're a good man, Matt. You and your mustache have been a pleasure to look at the last handful of weeks. And like I say, I'm gonna miss it. It's going to be different, but I'm looking forward to what's around the corner. And I do appreciate everyone who's reached out. My phone was blowing up yesterday.
That's what I assumed.
I hit send tweet,
and
then
like...
threw my phone into the couch for like an hour. I came back and the notification list was through the roof. Thanks to everyone who's reached out. I've tried to get back to all of you, appreciate the well wishes. It's going to be a different journey for me, but I'm very excited to tackle it. And maybe one day down the road, I'll be able to share details on what I'm doing. But it's going to be fun, and I do appreciate everyone who's reached out, who's listened, who's followed. Over the last 10 years, it's been an awesome ride, and I can't wait to see what's around the corner for myself. And I will always be around. I'm not leaving Calgary. I'm staying in Calgary. This is my home, and I'll be watching and listening from afar, that's for sure. And I am...
ominous.
I will say that I'm quite excited to just put my feet up and be a sports fan again. As you know, being here and being in this chair, it's a different world. You can't necessarily be a 10-year-old fan that you were growing up. So, I'm excited to be a fan again.
I never thought
and not watch something with a notepad out.
Exactly what I was going to say. I never thought I would watch so many damn sports with a notebook when I was 10.
I'm excited to just put my feet up and be a fan, crack a beer or two, and... just absolutely hammer nachos into my face.
We're not supposed to crack beers while we're working?
No.
Oh.
I mean, you can.
Huh?
But I don't have to multitask. I can just focus on my beer. I don't have to put my beer down to write notes down.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
I can go to the bar without a notepad. I can go... I don't have to remember what's happened in the game.
You're just like anyone else.
Oh, hey, yeah. I remember what happened in the fourth. No, I don't.
No. I put too many away, and everything after the fifth is a little bit blurry, and I don't even care.
And now when a roster moves happens, I don't have to say, okay, how does this affect everything? I don't care. I'm just gonna go with it.
There you go.
So, be a fan again, which will be nice, but I'll miss the broadcasting and sports industry for sure. There's no question about that.
We're very much looking for all of your favorite Will Nault memories on the text line over the next handful of days too, 960-960. We'll dive in a few of those later. But Morning Report is up next, and it's got quite a few things in it. So we'll dive in. Sports at 9-6 to the Fan.
Head first or Cannonball?
I don't know. Jackknife? You pick. You're leaving.
Jackknife.
Let's go.
6:36 on your Wednesday morning. Good morning. Welcome inside the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. It's Big Show in the Morning. You can find the Big Show wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now and never miss a moment or a guest. My name is Will Nault. It's time now for the Morning Report. It's brought to you by Motorworks, exceeding all expectations. BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes on 51st Ave and 3rd Street, Southeast. We say good morning to Marty Rose.
Marty Rose.
Matt Rose.
Matt Rose. Play ball. Hey, thank you, friends. Lots going on this August Wednesday. Jays and Orioles in a big series. The rescheduled World Juniors are underway, and the Stamps getting ready for a Saturday tilt against the Lions. Let's dive on in. Start on the diamond where the Jays and Orioles were playing game two of their three-game set. Toronto lost the opener, so the Orioles were only three games back of the Jays going into the contest. Alek Manoah on the bump against 25-year-old Kyle Bradish for the O's, but it was Manoah who was getting dinged early.
From the stretch, the pitch. Ground ball right back up the middle. Espinal has it near the bag at second. Easy throw to first in time. Blue Jays gladly will take two outs for one run. Mullins comes in to score. Manoah's 1-2. Swing and a line drive into right field. That's down for a base hit. Third RBI in the big leagues for Barbara. Knocks in Rutschman, and it's 2-0.
That after the first inning, but Toronto would get half of that back after the TV timeout.
3-2. In the air, out to right field, near the high wall. Santander goes back. Bo takes it to the top of the fence, and it's off the fence, and gone! Bo Bichette with an opposite field home run. Just over the line on top of the high wall and right.
His 16th, that made it 2-1 after two innings. Manoah much better in the second, but then runs into a bit more trouble in the bottom of the third.
And the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball straight away center field. Merrifield racing back, turns to his right, comes back to his left, makes the catch in front of his chest, drifting at the 410 marker. Runners go back to their bags, will tag and advance. Santander cashed in. Mountcastle stands at third. And what a drive off the bat of Valvra to make it 3-1.
The sacrifice fly scores another run. Manoah had hit a batter and then allowed a double just prior to that run home. Manoah and Bradish going toe-to-toe for the rest of their respective outings. Manoah finished after five innings, three earned runs against, a walk, and five strikeouts. Bradish went 5 1/3, but he would get tagged for some more Jays damage before making his exit in the sixth.
1-0. Swing a line drive to the gap in right center field. That's down for a base hit. Great read by Guerrero. He cuts the bag at third. He's heading towards the plate. The relay throw by Odor. Not in time! Kicks off the reach of Rutschman. It's backed up by Bradish. Kirk will take second base after his RBI base hit. That brings the Blue Jays within a run. Now the 0-2. In the air, deep down the right field line. Headed towards the corner at the high wall. And it's gone! Bo Bichette has done it again! His second home run of the night is a go-ahead 3-run homer in Baltimore!
That put the Jays out in front for the first time in the game. Bit of a strange situation as it tilted to the bottom of the sixth, though. Zach Pop set to come in, but then rain arrived. The game went into a delay that lasted 78 minutes. So instead of Pop, out comes Anthony Bass for Toronto. He holds with a scoreless sixth, so it was Adam Simber who would follow up Bass, and he would get tagged.
The 1-0. Swinging a line drive out to right. Tapia races back. That ball's over his head, and it bangs off the wall. Tapia lost his cap. The rebound played by the center fielder, Bradley Zimmer. Rounding third, Rutschman's head towards the plate. He will score standing up. Running on contact with two outs. Mountcastle drills him home all the way from first with a ball over the head of Raimel Tapia.
Ryan Mountcastle with the RBI there against Anthony Bass. And he's pretty good against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Remember on Tuesday, so yesterday's program, Adnan kind of dropped the tidbit that, you know, Mountcastle, pretty good against the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
This is just his third big league season. He's only 25 years old, but yeah, been pretty good against the Toronto Blue Jays, not only this season, but in his life. Six games against Toronto this season. Ryan Mountcastle is now 11 for 25.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is a 480 average.
Okay, yeah.
And I mentioned just six games, right?
Uh-huh.
Four home runs.
Oh.
And 10 RBI. In his career, Mountcastle is hitting .352.
Way lower.
With 13 home runs and 26 RBI in 31 games against the Blue Jays.
So, that's impressive. Wow.
Really good.
Good for him.
Licking his chops with now, what, 13 games left against Toronto this season.
Yeah. This one today, they play another three-gamer to start next week. This guy can beat it, frankly. He'd get that one-run lead for the Jays down to just one run. That would be the score going into the eighth. Eighth, Anthony Bass would be replaced by Yimi Garcia. Trying to hold this thing on the tracks after the Jays could not extend their lead in the top of the inning, it gave way to the Orioles to steal the game.
Ran into an out, and Odor charges one out to deep right field. That ball is gone. Rougned Odor with a two-run go-ahead shot off of Jimmy Garcia. Orioles take the lead 6-5 here in the eighth.
And that would be the final score. Santiago Espinal would get all the way to second base off a single and then an error, but couldn't get any closer to home. The Jays dropped their first two games of this series with Baltimore. Weather a factor, poorly timed to say the least, right after Toronto had opened up their lead and wanted to bring in the relievers that they wanted to, but you can't blame these games on the weather. That's just tough. Series wraps just after 5 o'clock tonight. Jose Berrios gets the ball for Toronto. Yesterday, the team announced the signing of veteran Jackie Bradley Jr. Adds left-handed bat to the bench for John Schneider. Doesn't really. Ben Nicholson-Smith discussed on Jays Talk Plus yesterday.
You know, the people that I've talked to who have watched a lot of Jackie Bradley Jr. this year say, you know, great guy, really good guy, obviously professional, really well-respected, great defense, but just doesn't hit. Like, you're not getting anything. So I'm not sure that you're necessarily getting a big upgrade offensively or even a small upgrade offensively over Bradley Zimmer. But certainly you are getting defense, which you already had. So I find it interesting. I'm curious to learn more about what the Jays think.
So we'll see where he falls into the lineup as the season continues. Elsewhere in the American League, as we dial in on the playoff race, the Rays and the Brewers, Milwaukee jumped out to a 2-0 lead by Yandy Diaz with a two-run home run in the top of the third. That would tie the game, actually. Winning run came later in the fifth.
1-2. Line down the left field line. It is fair and into the corner. Tellez is in. Here comes McCutchen. Relay throw. Safe at home. Two-run double, Colton Wong.
Three runs score in the fifth. Two of them coming across on that double by Colton Wong propelled the Brew Crew to a 5-3 win over Tampa. That series will continue later today. The Yankees in Seattle face the Mariners. Pitchers were dialed in this one. Defense, solid. Some adventures for sure, but no runs scored across 12 innings. Gerrit Cole goes 7 for New York. Luis Castillo went 8 for Seattle, setting up a bullpen showdown. Eventually, someone had to crack. We take it to the 13th inning.
Torrens off the bench. Bases loaded, one out. 0-2 coming. And you're right back!
Love it. Seattle takes the 1-0 victory over the Yankees in a great game. They'll continue tonight. Guardians and Tigers were also battling down in Detroit. Cleveland in the playoff race. Detroit not so much. It showed in this one as Cleveland ended up winning 5-1. And they actually tie the Twins for top spot in the AL Central. But we'll focus in on the wild card race where the Jays are a game up on the Mariners after their win over the Yankees. The Rays are a game and a half back of Toronto after their loss to the Brewers. Orioles sit a half game back at Tampa after they beat the Jays in Cleveland and Minnesota, tied for the AL Central lead, but also a game out of a wild card spot. Switch it to the frozen action, where we got a little bit of NHL news yesterday. We go down to Carolina.
We are the best. No cap. Rod the bot.
The Hurricanes announced that Max Pacioretty going to miss about 6 months as he recovered from an Achilles injury. The veteran forward was traded from Vegas to Carolina in a cap-dumping type of move. That was after earlier in the day, the Hurricanes announced an extension for 23-year-old forward Martin Natchez. Gets 2 years at $3 million per after he scored 14 goals and 40 points in 78 games last season. Actually a lower point per game clip than his first two full seasons when he had 36 points in 64 games and then 41 in 53.
Too bad for Patrick Eddie. He's had a lot of injury issues the last handful of years and really throughout his career. It's hopeful, it sounds like, that he'll be able to return at some point this season. I mean, you do the math. 6 months will take him to late February. Maybe potential to return in March. Again, that's not an easy recovery. He'll need some time to get back up to speed. If anything, potentially returns for the playoffs for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Your interior trade deadline ad.
Ditto.
When you got the injury guy.
Ghetto.
It wasn't even that bad. Come on now.
It's almost, that's almost shovel worthy.
World Junior Tournament got underway again yesterday.
Before you move on to the, I just wanted to mention, quick shout out. Big day in our city yesterday. Did you know that?
What happened?
Oh, Kale!
Oh, yeah.
Kale McCarr and Michael O'Connor.
Float the bow.
With the Stanley Cup. Pretty awesome. And, hey, just any chance you can play All Hail Kale, you'll do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seemed like a pretty good turnout. And taking the Stanley Cup down the Bow River is pretty cool. So
I miss Connor McGehee and goal calls. Those were always fun. And will continue to be in the upcoming season.
All Hail Kale! Over and over and over and over! But you can't stay here because this party is over. Andre the Giant again. It's the choo-choo train. Hook. Give him the hook. Alex Newhook. The moose is loose.
I mean, really, him and
Bob McElligott. The guy in Columbus?
Yeah.
Who does all of the...
But I was going to say him and Mark Moser. I mean, Avalanche fans, just they just lose it.
What a treat.
Nathan McKinnon!
Take a breath, King. World Junior Tournament got underway again yesterday. Some key changes from the holiday version. No Russians, some different players, as many who are on the initial teams are passing on the tournament to prepare for their respective NHL training camps. The day began with the closest game of the three that we saw on opening day. Czechia beating Slovakia 5-4. Czechia outshot their opponent 52-29 before a goal at 18-10 of the third gave Czechia the lead and eventual win. Canadiens prospect Jan Mišák stood out with a two-point performance. That was followed up by Latvia and Finland. To no surprise, Finland won this one 6-1, your final. 4 points each for Predators prospect Joachim Kemmel and Islanders prospect Atu Rati. The nightcap with USA and Germany. The Flames' lone prospect in the tournament is Matt Coronato. With the Americans, ended up with one assist on a nice power play entry, setting up Coyotes prospect Logan Cooley for the eventual game winner as the Americans open with a 5-1 victory over the Germans.
And yes, shout out. It's Logan O'Connor, not former Calgary Stampeder quarterback Michael O'Connor.
Oh, so close. Today, three more games. Sweden will battle Switzerland at noon. At four, it's Canada's opener. They play Latvia. Germany goes back-to-back after their loss to the U.S. on Tuesday. They'll play Austria. That one gets going at 8 o'clock. At Stampeder's practice on Tuesday...
We got lots of stuff.
They got lots of stuff. The week got underway ahead of the big game Saturday when they'll host the BC Lions. Plenty of questions for the head coach, including some clarity on Trey Roberson. He's going to miss the remainder of the season after undergoing knee surgery. Although, Dave did say that there's maybe a chance he returns, but he's probably done for the year.
It wasn't a complete tear, and you're looking at a couple months. You know, I'm not saying he's out, but it's certainly I wanted to put his mind at ease, meaning that, you know, make sure you're better and play when you can play, and hopefully the surgery helps him have a longer career.
And Deontay Ruffin looks to be the boundary corner for the time being. Other notes from practice, linebacker Jameer Thurman, running back Kadeem Carey, fullback Charlie Power, Right tackle Julian Good-Jones and receiver Malik Henry all missed day one of practice. We did see Thurman carry Good-Jones and Henry around, so we'll continue to monitor those as the week goes on. As well, Sam linebacker Titus Wall given player of the week honors by the league after his two interception game. Stamps play the Lions at 5 at McMahon Stadium Saturday night. Dave Dickinson joins us after the break to talk about that game and how his weekend went as he watched the game, like many of us, from his home in Calgary. The National Bank opened with round one action on Tuesday. Lots of Canadians in action as well. On the women's side, wild card competitors Rebecca Marino and Carol Zhao both knocked out in the first round. Bianca Andreescu battled through dizziness and illness to win her first match after last winning this tournament itself in 2019. A straight sets victory for the 22-year-old who, as she admitted after the match, wasn't feeling too hot.
I don't want to be dramatic, even though, like, on court, I was honestly a mess. I'm so sorry for my attitude. I really did not feel well. I don't know what it was. Maybe a bunch of things. You know, I'm back here. Sorry. You know, 3 years later, I'm playing against a really great player. Maybe I ate too much before the match. I don't know what the heck it was. But yeah, I've never felt like that. But anyways, back to the match. I mean, she played really, really well, super consistent, and I'm just so happy I had that mental toughness to get through in two sets. I mean, that was key for me.
And as you heard, she had the crowd behind her. She'll need to refocus. She's got a round of 32 match tonight. It'll also be a fellow Canadian and 13th seeded Layla Fernandez with her round of 32 match earlier in the day. Serena Williams also on the court as she's the match between Fernandez and Andreescu's respective games. On the men's side, wild cards Vasek Pospisil and Alexei Gallarneau were both knocked out in round one. Today, it'll be the sixth seed Felix Auger-Aliassime in the round of 32. And finally, Okotoks Dogs were in Brooks as the WCBL playoffs continued. And the Dogs won the opener of the three-game set. They also won the second game, so they advanced to the conference finals 14-2 as they blow out the Bombers in both their games. That's the final. They sweep. They advance to the conference finals. They're going to play the Sylvan Lake Gulls after Sylvan Lake won their series as well. They swept their series. But that is it. That's your morning report.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
And the Morning Report is brought to you every single day by our friends at Motorworks on exceeding all expectations, BMW repairs and service in a state-of-the-art facility where they'll meet and beat all competitors' quotes. You can check them out on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast. Maybe some dogs action this weekend, eh?
Yeah.
Let the big dog eat.
Let the big dog eat.
Should be a fun weekend at Siemens Stadium. The Dogs.
And at Sylvan Lake. That's like, pretty close.
You could double it up.
A little north, a little south, no problem.
Division final. Trying to add to the banners at Siemens Stadium, as they say.
Yeah, and then there's going to be the league finals against all the teams that are further east.
Yeah.
But yeah, two absolute blowouts for the Okotoks Dogs.
Which, I mean, you probably thought that's the way it was going to go.
Yeah, like they were first in their division by a hefty margin. Yeah. They're a good team.
Yeah, and it should be a great series because Okotoks, of course, had the best record in the league at 43-13. Sylvan Lake, though, not far behind. Should be a fun series. Sylvan Lake finished the year 5 games back at 38-18. Game one is Friday in Okotoks. Game two is in Sylvan Lake on Saturday, and Game 3, if necessary, back at Siemens Stadium on Sunday. You can go check out the Okotoks Dogs website for all of your ticket information or give their box office a call or go visit them in Siemens Stadium. So Friday night, 7:05, Sunday potentially at 7:05, Game 2 on Saturday in Sylvan Lake. Should be a fun weekend between the Dogs and the Gulls.
Yeah, Lou was down doing one of those Sylvan games, like the first one of their series, I think it was. Our good pal went down and saw that tilt. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Dogs.
Dogs.
The Stampeders. It should be a fun weekend, man. Looking forward to it.
Should we take a break?
Probably.
Yeah.
Dave
Dickinson
coming up next.
A fun conversation coming up around the corner. How does a coach in protocol watch a game? We'll find out and talk about the game against the BC Lions around the corner. Stampeder head coach back in his normal slot with us, 7 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. He'll kick off hour two next. Big Show in the Morning rolls on from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. He's Matt. I'm Will. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.